Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. 3-1 Giants against the 3-1 Packers, dude. We both picked the Packers. The world was picking the Packers. And by 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Chris, this
weird.
Team did
Which was weird, right? That was weird.
And it was awesome. I got to be honest with you. It was awesome. I didn't care. 9:30 was great. I'm good for five of those a season. I know we're not going to travel five times, but I'm fine with if they did it five times. 1 o'clock comes, dude. They did it again. I mean, I'm watching this game, and I texted you during it going, this is unenjoyable just because we just don't have the horses to compete. Down 17-3, and then the adjustments start happening. And damn it, if we don't have a great, not a good, a phenomenal coaching staff and players with balls the size of the Empire State Building, Daniel Jones, thank you very much. Chris, this was one of the best regular season wins I've experienced in, I don't know, since 2011. This was incredible. I still am shocked that it happened. I haven't been this proud of the Giants. In forever. What a pleasure it is tuning in to watch this team. And in the fourth quarter, and I'm sorry to go on, but in the fourth quarter.
No, you keep going. Keep going, bro.
Dude, in the fourth quarter, I didn't even care if they won or lost. I was so proud of them. I thought, you know what? They're not as good as the Packers, but man, are they fighting. You got a quarterback with an injured ankle who, you know, look, we didn't think he'd be where he is right now. A hand that's battered where it made John Feliciano look like he had the worst hemorrhoid I've ever seen, you know, snapping under center. I hit blood coming out of his hand. It was ridiculous. The effort they put forward, the defense coming through in the second half. Like, I'm speechless, Chris. Speechless. So happy about this team, where this franchise is, the coach, all of it, dude. We'll get into all of it, but I'm sorry to be all over the place. I could not be happier with the freaking New York Giants right now, man.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. This Daniel Jones guy, more and more, is making a case of like, I'm your guy, folks. Give me some more weapons. I could do even more things, you know?
Chris, real quick. I have him. I'm thinking of like, and I hate to always go back to it, but the hell if this doesn't remind me of Sims and Parcells, in that when Parcells took over, he didn't even want Sims. He chose Bruner. And then it was, all right, we're going to do this my way. And then in 84, it happened. They went 9-7, made the playoffs. I'm seeing the same thing. You're seeing a quarterback no one wanted to a quarterback that everybody kind of tolerated to, damn it, if you're not rooting for this kid every week now.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think the last few weeks, man, I mean, if you're not really starting to fall in love with Daniel the last few weeks, and say to you, even the people who are 100% against him being back next year, if you don't look at it right now and say, well, you know what, maybe I'm not so right about that. If you're just still adamant about it, then you're a Daniel hater, you know?
Right.
If you have an open mind about it, I think a lot of people are like, and I saw it on Twitter yesterday. I saw about, you know, this Jones is growing on me now. I don't know if we get him some weapons and all that stuff, you know? And, you know, Jerry, talking about the game, when they came back, they made it 20-20, you know. And I said, well, let's see what Aaron does, Rodgers does it. And they went 3-and-out.
Yeah.
And I was like right around the 9-minute mark left of the game, whatever it was. And I'm looking at my notes here. And I said to myself, holy crap, they got the momentum here. They could win this game.
Right.
I don't think, I looked at that after they went, I don't know, Rodgers comes out. They just three passes. They try to wing it all over the lot.
Yep.
Three incompletions. And I said to myself, they got the momentum. They got Barkley going, but he's back. And they could, man, they could win this damn game. Because I tell you why. And I put it on Twitter because they were coming off a long drive. And then they go 3-and-out. And you know the defense had to be gassed.
Right.
They had to be gassed.
Yep.
And they went right back out. And the Giants went right back at them. And that was it. They couldn't stop them in the second half. But that's a pretty good defense there. And, you know, once again, man, just credit to Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll, the creativity. And look, Jerry, you know, I said this in training camp, hey, get ready for this creativity. And I didn't imagine this, dude. I mean, even I didn't imagine everything that they're doing, you know. I expect I didn't think they were going
to get creative with Dan Bellinger like that.
Yeah, I mean, I expected a lot more crosses in there, a lot more, but they're doing all kinds of things in the red zone. You know, those little shovel passes, double reverses, and Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are doing what they have to do with the personnel they have to score points, to score touchdowns. Yeah. And they're going to look at this guy and this guy and say, okay, we have to do this with this guy, because that's all we have, and we're going to have to ride these guys. We're going to have to get creative and use these guys, and that's what they're doing. I mean, Bellinger had the option of a little run pass there on that double reverse. Yeah. And he ran it in. Yeah. You know, and it's just amazing, bro. And the defense, look, Wink, man, you know, they stopped Aaron Rodgers in the second half. They stopped him when they needed to, right? He didn't have the ball much in the second half thanks to the offense. But when that last drive, you know, Jerry, I mean, you want to talk about balls. And we're going to make that like the theme of this podcast, balls. Fourth down, and he's calling a zero blitz.
Yeah.
With Nick McCloud and Justin Lane.
They weren't even in camp.
Those two guys are on the field. And Wink Martindale, yeah. As I said 5 million times since they hired him, he does not give a crap who's out there. He calls a zero blitz on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And I got news for you, Jerry. If you look at the play, even if McKinney doesn't knock that down, McCloud's got great coverage over there. They weren't completing that ball, bro. It wasn't like there was a guy open. Oh, wow, McKinney's...
Even on the bombs before, they had good coverage, those guys. Holmes, Wayne, all of them.
I thought McCloud did a great job on a deep crosser by Randall Cobb. Stuck with him.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll even talked about that today. He was on with us a little while ago. He even talked about that play. I thought Justin Lane did a good job on a go route. You know, so these guys stepped up. And, you know, this is what they talk about in the locker room, Jerry. This is what they talk about in the facility. Hey, next man up.
Yeah.
Coach these guys because we're going to need them. You know,
next man
up. And these guys stepped up yesterday. And they played well, man. They went after him. You know, Rodgers went after McCloud. The first series he was in, got him a few times. And then after that, it was quiet. It was settled down. It's a credit to Jerome Henderson, bro. I've mentioned this a lot.
Yeah.
And Wink Martindale called Jerome Henderson the best defensive back coach he's ever had. He's ever seen. The best, Wink says. And Wink's been around a while. And this is what I mean about Jerome Henderson, man. And to get those guys ready. Technique-wise, not just, oh, all right, they're ready to go out there and play some snaps. No, you got to go out there and you got to play well. And they really did, man. You know, the one DPI on McKinney early on, I close call there, cost him a huge chunk. I didn't quite see it. Jerry, I don't know, maybe you disagree with me.
No, I didn't think it was.
I didn't quite get it.
I'm a bit of a homer, but I didn't think it was at all.
You know, I didn't quite get it, but you know, like everything else in this damn league, every deep ball, if it's tight coverage, oh, flag, where's the interference? The whole bullshit, you know, so
right.
So I thought it was good coverage, but great job by those guys. And once again, you know, Jerry, you know, we talked about it on Twitter yesterday. You know, this game isn't about just, oh, okay, we're not going to do crap until halftime. And then we're going to make some adjustments at halftime for the 12 minutes, which is actually like 8 minutes they talk by the time they get in the locker room.
Right.
Okay? And then we're going to come out. No, dude. And Daboll, it was great because somebody asked the question today about it. Daboll said, no, you know, we're communicating during the whole game. We're adjusting during the whole game. And then at halftime, we're going to do, all right, let's try these few plays. They're attacking us like this. Let's adjust. Let's quickly try this. And then everything else is during the game. During the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the best adjustment they made was in the second quarter, down 17-3, and they tried the Wildcat, and Barkley ripped off 40. And I thought, all right, let's see what we can do now. And then they scored. And I thought, wow, okay, that's a wrinkle. That's nice. And then it just kind of went from there.
Yeah.
And look, we have coaches the last couple times that type of adjustment either doesn't happen or, like you said, it happens at halftime. There was 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. That game was going to get away from us very quickly if we went three and out again. And it was second and seven, I think. And they tried the Wildcat and Barkley ripped one. And I thought, all right, then this is what I mean, man. This is the coaching we have now. We talk about it all the time. Even, Chris, even at the end of the game, tell me Shurmur and Judge wouldn't have just punted. Please.
I don't
they
know.
They would have.
I don't know, but listen, there's plenty of coaches out there that would have been like, oh, I just punted it deep out of you, you know.
Yes.
You know, I saw a couple of people on Twitter like when I put, hey, when I tweeted, hey, just punt the, take the safety here.
Right.
And there's a couple of people, you know, with their, you know, like, oh, that's an obvious one. No, it's not no, obvious
no.
one.
No, it's not. You know, no, it's
you
not.
Know, maybe if you've watched this game for like, you know, 45 years like I have, trust me, I've seen coaches do stupid crap that wouldn't even punt out of there. Okay? So, you know.
Just, Chris, even taking the timeout with a minute 11 left, I thought, thank you. Thank you, Daves. Thank you. Because now we might have to get the ball back here. Like, there's not one decision that's made in the game, especially clock management, where I'm thinking, man, we don't know what the hell we're doing. It's just so, it's so great to have that back, dude. It's so great. Oh, man. My God.
Yeah, you know, in Judge's second year, we looked at a lot of decisions he made. He was like, wow, this guy seems like he's in over his head at times with the decisions he's making. He was totally different than his first year. I mean, it was like,
yes.
And right now you look at, you know, you look at Dable and all that and you say, all right, you know, this guy gets it, man. You know, he's not in over his head at all. He's very calm and cool on that sideline, even though he's a fiery dude. But he's got that very relaxed, you know, all right, relax, calm down. You know, I even asked him today, Jerry. I even asked him a little while ago. Hey, you know, you guys are 4-1. You know, how do you keep these guys, you know, these guys are not used to winning, brother. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're coming off, you know, you're coming off a big win against a quality opponent. And, you know, I asked Dave's a little while ago, I said, you know, how do you keep these guys grounded? You know, make sure they don't get a little too ahead of themselves. You know what I mean, Jerry? And,
yeah.
And he just talked about the process, man. You know, hey, you got to keep working, man. You got to point out, you know, what they're doing right, wrong, and corrected, and all that stuff. You know, so how you kind of ground it a little bit is that when they look at the film today, and I don't know exactly what to do because of the London trip. They're probably going to do it tomorrow or maybe later on tonight, but... You know, they look at it and they say, well, you know, guys, okay, this is great. Yeah, but hey, look at this play. Look at it. Hey, we could have lost because of this. Or we will lose next time. You know, that's how they do it. You know, so like, so if a guy's sitting there feeling really good about himself, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if, you know, if you're sitting there like, oh yeah, we did nothing wrong, you know, we just beat the Packers, then coaches start pointing out, well, relax, because this, and this could happen. And we would have went down the you know what ball. So. That's what Dable was trying to talk to me about. That's what basically he was saying. That's how you keep guys grounded. You're like, relax. You know, we're going to work on this, correct mistakes and all that stuff.
I love that question too, Chris, because to be honest with you, it reminds them. Like, your question kind of reminded them. Like, you know, how do you keep them grounded? And even if a coach thought for a second, now we're pretty good, that question grounds them immediately. I love it. Whatever. People want to say I kiss Chris's ass for stuff. That's a great question, guys. So deal with it if you don't like me saying that. But
who the hell says that?
I don't know, man.
Who the hell says that?
Some people say that on reviews and stuff. Whatever. I don't care. But dude, what a great Monday. Sorry to the Mets fans. This is such a great Monday. If you're a Mets fan, I feel for you guys. I really do. But you know what? All Giants, baby. Let's talk about the offense first. And there was another tweet you put out, and I think Banks mentioned it, but I retweeted it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Whether you like me retweeting it or not, whatever, because I felt you deserved it to be retweeted. About Darius Slayton.
Oh, about Slayton. And he said, I was thinking, like, what are you talking about? Oh, Slayton, good.
No, I retweeted and said, hey, guys, just a reminder, this was put out there. You know, because people say, well, all he has to do is catch the ball. Yeah, I know. We know, guys. God. But the talent, he used to catch the ball. And I just think Slayton's that receiver, right, that needs to catch the ball early, whether it's a screen, whether it's an end around. Just get the ball in his hands, get his confidence going. And you see what he can bring to the table. And he has had the most receiving yards in a game for us thus far through five games, I think with 73 or 76. Yeah. That leads all of them. And that's what he can do. He can stretch the field. And there's one play where he looked up. He may have had more yardage, although the ball was a little behind him. He didn't even look up for it. But look.
Next time he ran that crosser, he did look up for it. Did you notice?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just... It's like, yeah, you know, we need an influx of talent, but sometimes maybe the talent's on the team. And that's why we keep saying, like, I don't think it's going to happen, but man, if Tony could get his head straight and get back out there, Wandale can get out there, like, man, we can, maybe we can be, this offense can go to the next level right now.
Yeah, Jerry, so what happened was, Jerry, is that, you know, during the week, you know, I'm watching practice and I see Slayton out there and he's, he's running around, you know, good, and Daniel's throwing to him and all that. And a guy from the, you know, a guy from the Giants comes up to, next to me. And he's like, he goes, "That's Slayton, you know, man, we could get him going, you know." And I looked at the guy and I said, "You know, call me crazy, man." And I said, "I'm gonna put it on Twitter sooner or later." I said, "But call me crazy." I said, "But I still feel Slayton could help this team, you know." And the guy went like, he goes, "Chris, definitely, I feel the same way. But you know, he's got to start doing it." And I said, "I understand that, you know, but he is out here practicing. Like, I got to be honest with you, Jerry. Tony, I've totally given up on until he proves himself, until he gets on the field and plays. I've given up on him, bro. I got to be honest with you. The hamstrings, this and that. I don't know what's going on there. I know he's injured. The other one's supposedly. Okay, I get it. Whatever. Maybe I guess he's injured, whatever. But I've given up on him. So the point I'm making is that he's got to have to prove to Giant fans, Jerry, Tony. He's going to have to get healthy and prove and go out there and be productive for Giant fans to embrace him again. I'm sorry. Okay? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people, "Hey, Chris, come on, he's going to give him a break, wait till he gets back." Yeah, I get that, but you know, the kid hasn't been
out. I think most fans feel the same way.
Right. So to me, talking about Kadarius, he's got, I mean, I'm nobody, doesn't have to prove to me, but I'm saying the Giant fans, he's going to have to get back out there and prove it until I say, "Yeah, Tony could help us, Jerry." You know what I mean? Yeah. But I looked at Slayton because I see him practicing every week. I'm there every week, you know, and I see him and I just looked at him. I said, "Man, you know, I still feel this guy can help. You know, I still feel, no matter what, is he the most polished receiver? No. Example was yesterday. You know, will he drop ball? Yeah. But he's, there's nobody else, Jerry." That was the point. The point I was making is that there's nobody else. And I still feel the guy could help. And that's why I put that out. Obviously, look, fortunately, I put it out before the game, so people will, you know, wouldn't think I was Monday morning quarterback if I put it out this morning. You know what I mean? So that's that's all I was saying. It's like, you know, this kid, man, I remember what he did his rookie year, and I see him running around making some catches in practice. I know it's practice, like, but I just felt he could, you know, and it worked out for him.
Even the preseason, he caught that bubble screen, and it was a big gain, and I thought, man, he still has talent. You know, you don't lose the speed.
He's the fastest guy on his team, dude, you know?
Right. That's why I said, like, get him the ball early. Get his confidence going. Don't throw him. His first pass can't be a 50-yard pass down the field. It just doesn't happen with him. So maybe it's a bubble screen. Maybe it's an end around something. But get the ball in his hands.
It'd be nice. You know, it would be nice if we get him rolling a little bit. And then, obviously, if Tony ever comes back. And Wandell, who I thought was going to be back last week. Let's see if he comes back this week. And try to get a few more options for Daniel. You know? A few more options for Daniel. You know, hey Jerry, I thought the practice squad kid Marcus Johnson did some good things yesterday.
I thought he looked the best. When he called the ball, I thought it's pretty good.
I thought he did some good things, Jerry. And I tell you what, I think Dable thinks the same thing. I see they just signed Robert Foster back to the practice squad. It makes you wonder, you know, if Marcus Johnson's going to be elevated Sunday. If they elevate him Sunday, they're going to have to sign him. So does he go to the active 53? You know, does he?
I thought he looked really, I should say not the best.
Especially with the injuries.
But I'm saying when he was out there, I thought, man, he's open, catches the ball nice, he's physical. Like, wow, this, we might have something here. So I was happy with him. Even Sills made a nice tiptoe down the sidelines. Like, oh, all right. Everyone's contributing now. Richie James.
And who had that key block on Saquon Barkley's 40-yard run?
Yes. That's right. Who? Yeah. Richie James.
Oh, it was David Sills. It was Sills.
Oh, was it Sills?
So Sills had that key block, one of the key blocks, and which is perfect because you go to see his interview in the next Giant Insider. That's what I was getting at. So you go to see his interview in the next Giant Insider. And it couldn't come in a perfect. And now, folks, I did it the interview before the game, so I obviously didn't talk to him about the block. But it couldn't come at a more perfect time. You know, Sills was one of the key blocks. You know?
Nice.
Which is not the first time he's had some nice blocks on the perimeter for Saquon, you know.
I'm going to have to watch that play again and make sure that Richie James did something so I don't sound like a
buffoon. Well, I'm not going to – you know what? I don't remember everything. Maybe you're right. Maybe James did. But I remember Sills did have a pretty good block on that Saquon run. So which is perfect timing for the paper, for the newspaper.
Nice.
So anyway.
There you go.
Yeah, so perimeter guys. Look, when you get 40-yard perimeter runs like that, some receivers make it a nice block. And that's what happened yesterday. And Saquon, look, I was a little concerned when he went down with that shoulder. You know, I thought he popped it out. I think he might have even popped it. I popped it back in. He went back out. There's no way he was going to come out. And now you got to worry about these concussions. Now it seems like every time a guy hits the surface, oh, he's not like Teddy Bridgewater. Looked like he was fine yesterday. Oh, no, you got to sit him out now because everybody's paranoid about the Tua thing, you know? So, but Saquon obviously back with the shoulder, and he looked good after that touchdown run. And Brightwell tying the game up with a nice run. You know, good push up front.
With some help from his friends, buddy. That was awesome.
No, nice push up front, a little help from his friends. You know, like the Joe Cocker song there, you know. But actually, it's a Beatles original song.
Nice.
Yeah, so, look, once again, though, dude, you know, it seems like it's every week. It feels like a game's going to get away from them. Halftime, they're losing. It doesn't look good. And they come out of the second half like a different team. Took over the game yesterday, you know. The only game that got away from them in the second half this year was the Dallas loss. Other than that, they've basically taken the two teams in the second half and they've scored, you know, in one game.
And in that one, in the second half, they went up 13-6 where they had no right being up 13-6. All right, guys, hang on 1 second. We're going to take a break and be right back. Hang on. And we're back. And that's why I was so happy about the adjustment in the second quarter, because it brought the score to 17-10. And then it was 20-10, but you felt like, all right, well, at least we can maybe do something in the second half. We'll see. And then, like you said, dude, my God, what a performance.
I thought it was a key drive in this game, dude, when it was 10-0 Packers. They made it 10-0 in that first quarter. And it was kind of getting away. They were killing them with those little bubble screens. They were killing them with those little flat routes. They were like, just like nicking, slicing, little nicks at the Giants. Nicking. You know, Rodgers wasn't hurting them down the field, but he was hurting them underneath, you know. Getting the ball out and all that stuff. And then the Giants, they kind of responded when it was 10-0. They kicked that field goal. You know, and who was it that kind of got the ball rolling? It was Darius Slayton. The nice throw to Slayton, 25 yards or so. And they come down and kick the field goal. Going, of course, you know, once again, if there's, unless it's like a hurricane, he's not missing a field goal. You know, and they got back in a little bit, you know, and he kind of settled down a little bit. And I know they went in the second quarter, and it was 20-10, but... if they do a 3-and-out there, Aaron Rodgers comes back and scores, maybe he does get away from them. But once again, the Giants just show those grit, man. It's just when you think they're out, you know, they're out of it, or this ain't going to happen today, they come right back, man. And after halftime, they're like a different team, man. It's amazing. So it's a credit to the coaching staff and the players, man. No doubt about it.
Bob Sagendorf texted me during the game yesterday, and he goes, Saquon reminds me of Rocky right now. And I said, Bob, it's a nice analogy, but it's Philly. I can't acknowledge that that's an actual analogy that I'm going to use going forward. But, you know, Barkley coming back in the game and the grit that they showed on defense. And I was thinking about this, man, driving today, and I thought, if there's one giant that, like, sums up this season for me, it's O'Shane Zimenez. Like, it's completely unexpected, playing better than we ever could have thought. And by the way, closed out the game technically yesterday with a sack of Aaron Rodgers.
Remind me to get to that, too. Go ahead.
Talking about a player who we both, the world, said he's not going to make this team to, man, he's not only making the team, he's contributing. And you got to figure out ways to keep him on the field because he makes plays. He closed the chances of Rodgers doing that, but I'm not taking that chance of Rodgers. Rodgers can wing it 70 yards and hit it, get a touchdown. I'm not taking that chance. He closed the game out yesterday. So one guy that sums up this season for me, it's O'Shane Zimenez, dude.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that last play that we all knew the Hail Mary was coming, okay? Because like you just said, Rodgers could wing it 65 yards in the air. And by the way, we've seen him do that once against the Giants in a playoff game and once against the Lions, if I remember right. And maybe once against Seattle, but he's done it a few times in his career where he just wins at 60, 70 yards, 60 yards for Hail Mary, for a touchdown, okay? So, and this is what I loved about it. And I put it on Twitter yesterday, dude, because it effing annoys me to no end. When I see a team that's going to throw a Hail Mary, last play of the game, and the defense rushes three guys, so the quarterback could circle to his left or roll to his right, set up, okay, here it comes, and wings it down the field because he has all the time in the world. Okay? Nah. Wink Martindale says, nah, we're not going to let you just sit back, roll to your left like Rodgers likes to do, plant himself, and launch one into the end zone. Wink was like, we're going to give it our best shot here. We're going to rush four guys and not give you all the time in the world to set up and throw it 60 yards. Okay? And that's what they did. And Zimenez got there. And Zimenez blew him up. He didn't even get the ball off. The little things, dude. The little things in coaching. So many other coordinators would have said, "Now watch three guys. We're going to trap eight. Another body's good back in the end zone." You know. Why? Rush four. Don't let him get set. If you could, unless they do a great job up front. Don't let him get roll, get set, get his whole body behind it, and throw it in the end zone. Right, Jerry? I'm like, I was so happy to see that. Like, thank you, Wink. Give us a damn shot. Don't let him set up, you know? And Ximenez blew him up. End the game. Didn't even get the ball off, dude. Great job by Wink. Great job by X, too. Where do I see him? Well, great job by X, too, man. You know, so.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's one guy, man. Oh, it's such a nice story.
Jihad Ward's doing a great
job.
Jihad Ward's doing a great job, man, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he is going to. Look, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but he's going to be huge in this game coming up, containing on those edges with Lamar Jackson. You know, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And how about my boy? Just one second, Jerry. How about my boy, Julian Love?
Once
again, all over the place, laying the wood on people.
Yeah, right.
Okay, coming up and blasting Aaron Jones, who's a big boy. Aaron Jones is no small guy either. You know, I mean, blasting him. Yeah. All right?
The tackling from our defensive backfield, Adoree Jackson, too. Yeah. Oh, my God. These guys can hit. These guys are sure tacklers. It reminds me of, like, I'm watching a bunch of Mark Collins out there.
Adoree's really playing left. Physical. He really is. Yeah.
He really is. I laughed when McKinney blocked that last play. Well, not the last play, but the one that meant the most. Because I was saying on the last podcast, I wish he'd play back more. Because make a play, and then we blitzed him, and he made that. I thought, there's a reason why I'm not a defensive coordinator, but I thought that was kind of ironic. But the play before that, Thibodeau blocked it with his face, but whatever. I thought he had a really good game, and I was surprised at the lack of holding calls that didn't go his way in that one. I thought he was held a lot in the fourth quarter, but he's getting better and better.
Getting close.
And again, like, some Giant fans are like, he's not doing anything yet. I'm like, no, guys, watch again. He's getting much closer. He looks more comfortable out there. Like, it's coming for him. Like, I don't worry about how good he's going to be for us. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. And when Ojulari comes back again, he's got to get healthy. We have a nice rotation, man, right now. And we're going to add more to it in the offseason. But we could be a lot worse right now. Like, dude, Dexter Lawrence, like you said, Pro Bowl level. You know, the sack he had where he knocked him out of field goal range. Like, this is what we've been waiting for. Like, it's finally coming together, man.
Yeah, you know, and Thibodeau's, you know, he's starting to force that pocket. You know what I mean? He's starting to force that pocket. You know, it's not just getting that sack number. You know, he's starting.
Yep. Yeah, he forced it all out.
One time he was hell for sure. Looked like the tackle wrapped his arm around his neck. I was surprised he didn't get the call there. Tibbs has got to start learning to sell a little bit more. He'll learn, like, you know, be surprised a lot of times you do that, and then you flail that right arm up in the air, and you show the ref, look, I'm getting, you know, he'll learn that as he moves along, you know. But I actually had two holes. I thought two could have went his way yesterday, you know. But it didn't.
Late in the game.
You know, but he played a lot of snaps. The knee's obviously feeling great, and he's starting to make an impact. You know, like you said, the PD at the line, the ball hits him in the face. He had the arm up, though. I think the ball actually hit him in the mask, right, Jerry? But so what? He's getting up. He's doing what he's taught.
Who cares?
Okay? And he's starting to get on an edge and getting some pressure in that pot. He's close, dude. He's going to get one sooner or later. You know, and I think Jalen Smith is still, you know, Notre Dame, is also, you know, I think Jalen's helping them. I think he's really helping them, you know. He's obviously an upgrade over what they had. Austin Kalicho, I mean, that's a no-brainer. He's obviously an upgrade, so.
I got a really dumb question for you. Why did no one else pick up Jalen Smith? Because when I see him, he just looks so active.
It's kind of strange, bro. Like, does nobody else could have used him?
He's so
nobody
fast.
Else could have used him?
Right. No one else. There's no other inside linebacker that's worse than him right now in the league.
You know, I look at it like, you know, when Wink's playing you over 40 snaps, 50 snaps, or whatever it might be, that says a lot to me. Like, Wink has confidence in him because Wink didn't have a lot of confidence in those inside backers. You know, and that included Blake, as we all know. I mean, you know, Blake wouldn't get, he wasn't going to receive a lot of snaps in his offense, you know. So you see Jalen, and look, if he was hurting him, he would get him out of there, Wink, you know. But he's playing pretty decent for them. He's playing pretty well for them. He's a downhill guy.
This looks so.
He looks is so fast. He is. I mean, he's a downhill kid.
Like faster than what everybody else we have on the inside.
Him and Crowder could run a little bit. You know, they could both run. That's one thing. You know, they could run a little bit. And getting back to Thibodeau, you kind of like, you know, he's getting close now. You could tell he's getting close. He might be one of those guys. All of a sudden, Jerry, you know, he goes from zero sacks to three in one game, or two and a half, or two, or something like that. You know, he's that type of bunch sack guy. Yeah. He, you know, you'll see him. You know, so, and you getting back to, you know, like you said, Dexter. Looks like DJ Davidson, a rookie I like, dude, you know. But it looks like he's got a sprained MCL. It looks like he's going to miss some time. Dable didn't get...
Oh, I thought it would be worse. I'll be honest with you, I thought it was worse.
That's what Ian Rappaport reported. Dable didn't get into it with us today. He says he's got to find out more from the trainers. Okay. But Rappaport did report he's got a sprained MCL. He's going to miss some time. Right. So, but as far as Adoree, I'm hearing really not that bad. I asked Dable about Adoree today. Dable didn't get into it. He says, I got to find out more. So we'll find out more. Adoree kind of said after the game he felt pretty good. He could have went back in if, you know, but the doctors told him no, stay out. I think it's good news on him, Jerry. I hate to speculate. You never know with injuries. And Leonard Williams, I thought he was going to play for sure. Obviously, he needs another week. So he should get him back for Baldwin, which you're going to really need with these guys, with Lamar, you know, so.
Yeah. Jump gears. Let's talk about Jones, dude. I thought it was his best game from a precision standpoint, from a guts ball standpoint, and just smarts. Knew when to run, knew when to pull back and not take a chance. The throwaway in the end zone was something we wouldn't have seen last year or the year before. Yeah. I thought it was a great play when they went. I think it was with their go-ahead touchdown. That's not a play he would have done before. So, you know, everything Dable's doing with him, it's all working. And like you said, man, this is a kid now that I think 90% of Giant fans are like, all right, well, let's let this play out now. Let's see what we have. And I'm personally, dude, I've said it before, we're rooting for him. But I thought that was his best game as a pro so far. I don't care about numbers.
I get what you're saying.
Screw numbers. Yeah, that was his best game.
I get what you're saying. You know? Yeah. You waited a little bit some play. Like David Sills, I think, fell down. He got up. Sills at the 5 yard line. I thought he turned around. And Daniel hit him on the 5 to get him closer, you know, before that touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like to me they were kind of protecting that ankle in the first half. But Dable said today, he said, no, we would just change it up at halftime. We went more to the little more zone reads. And Daniel did take off more in the second half. He looked like he was running pretty good.
Yes.
You know, I thought maybe they would protect him a little bit in that first half. You know, it didn't look like they had no real zone reads or boots or anything like that with Daniel. But the second half, he did run. Now, Daniel, look, the one mistake he made, he did take a pretty good shot to the neck area from Donnell Savage. He didn't get down quick enough, Daniel. And that could have been disastrous. It could have been disastrous.
Yeah.
He just sometimes so awkward sliding, and he that was a pretty good hit he took, you know, and he got up. He's a big, strong kid, you don't want to be taking hits like that, man. You know, just get the hell down, dude, you know. But so many good decisions from Daniel. And Jerry, you know, he's tough. We all know this, bro. Right? The kid's tough, man. Tough as nails, man, you know. And don't compare him to Eli. Well, you know what? He still missed games. You know, Eli was like an exception, man. You know, Eli... I mean, I could have shot Eli with a 30-06 before game time on a Sunday afternoon. And Eli still, I'm good to go. And he'll still come out and play. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, you know? But Daniel, I think he's wearing on people, bro. I think a lot of people who are definitely a no doubt about him, like, no doubt. I don't want him back. I think a lot of people are looking, open their eyes. Well, you know what? What if we draft in the middle of the round, or the way this is going in the latter half? You know, the guys aren't there that we want, and all that stuff, man. So,
yeah, and it's also again, we have a coach that's doing the right things with his personnel. And I saw a stat today. I didn't realize this, that Jones drop back 102 times out of three something of all the plays that the Giants have run. Only a third of the passes have been dropbacks. And I thought, man, that is using your personnel. That's knowing that he's more comfortable or more dangerous on the run, rolling out, whether it's a boot, whether it's a rollout, or because your offensive line isn't quite where it needs to be yet. Right. That's another factor as well. You don't have the receiving weapons. But when you see things like that, you're just like, this is a guy that, that gets it and in Dable. And Jones is carrying it out perfectly, man. It's so awesome to see this kid grow. And like you said, we're rooting for him now. But, you know, look, this offense goes through number 26. He's been phenomenal. You said he's had a chip on his shoulder since training camp coming back. It was like, you know what, guys, everybody talk and doubt me. And man, if you know the pass to him where he faked, I forget who it was, out of his jock, and it got another huge gain. I mean, he's just, what's great about it this year, and we've said it before, he's not dancing. Yeah. He's going straight ahead, and those big plays are coming. Yeah. Still. It doesn't matter whether he's dancing or not. He's going forward, you know, maybe gets 2-3 yards, and then all of a sudden, one out of every 6-7 plays, boom, he takes off, and it's a 40-yard gain. And it goes through him. He's got to stay healthy. And I feel like as long as he's there and he's healthy, Chris, like right. We have a puncher's chance in every game we play.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately for Saquon, his offensive line was so bad over the years that he started that dancing stuff a lot because there was nowhere to go. He tried to make things out of nothing instead of just kicking it up and take those 3 yards, you know. Yeah. And you don't see him doing that this year. And the main reason why, Jerry, is because there's guys up front blocking for him, opening some holes, you know? And you don't see that now. Yeah. You know, you don't see them doing that now, man. Now it's like, you know, foot in the ground, boom, hit that seam, you know? And you got some guys blocking the outside a little bit for him, including Kenny Golladay before he got hurt. Including Kenny Golladay. I know people don't want to hear that, but Golladay was throwing some blocks for Saquon that last game before he got hurt, you know? As a matter of fact, he got hurt. He hurt his knee on a blocking play, okay? But Saquon's just doing it. And you know what? I thought Matt Breida made a nice little impact yesterday. You know, Matt Breida, man, and then Gary Brightwell, they got a little package for Gary Brightwell. He's a strong kid, Brightwell. He's built like a fire hydrant, man. And, you know, he could push that a little bit. Smart, man. Dude, you know, you're on the 2-yard line, whatever it was, Jerry, the 3-yard line. And, all right, let's give it to Gary. You know, he'll push forward. You know what I mean? He's a strong, fit kid. And, dude, you have to know your personnel. And that's what Dable's doing with Daniel. Scaling down a lot of stuff for what Daniel does well. And what, like you said, do they have total trust in the offensive line to sit back there, wait, you know, 5-step drop and look for? Probably not. You know, they've been hit. He's been hit a lot, Daniel. There's some games he's been hit a lot, sacked. So you adjust, you know, that's what. Yeah. Look, Jerry, this is a parity league, bro, okay? There's so many teams. You see records about 2-3, 3-2. So many games, Jerry, coming down to the last second, field goals. So, dude, this sport, coaching is everything, man. Coaching can give you that advantage. And if you don't think coaching is one of the reasons why this team is 4-1, man, then you've been living in a bubble, like the Bubble Boy or something in like the Seinfeld episode. You know, you've been living in a bubble. You know, I mean, holy crap, dude. You know, so we'll see if it continues. And you just got to like, you got to like what Dable's doing for Daniel, you know. You know, John, he's using those legs for Daniel when he has to, and Daniel has those options to run. And you know, and Josh Allen, let's not forget, I'm not comparing, don't get me wrong, but Josh Allen didn't take off till he got that big receiver in Stephon Diggs, you know? And
that's right.
You kind of hope that they could land that big number one somewhere if Daniel stays and really help Daniel out, you know? Because Dable's doing some great. Dable's a pretty sharp dude, bro. He's a sharp offensive mind, man. And, you know, and this coaching staff's doing a great job too, including Kafka, bro. Kafka's doing a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. I don't always want to talk about the previous regimes, but based on what you see now, it's almost like we kind of have to. And I remember there were times over the last 2 years where with Jason Garrett, we just felt like, man, why aren't they using Daniel's legs more? Why aren't they using his legs more? He's so mobile. He can run. Well, let's see what happens. And then you mentioned on the podcast, we should do that. And then all of a sudden the next game, you're like, wow, what are they listening to the podcast? But this is something that Dable and Kafka identified, oh, I don't know, day one with Jones. And they've been able to carry that forward. So that's awesome. And it's great. And it's nice. But I wanted to get your opinion, Chris, on the offensive line yesterday. Like, what did you think? Did you think Evan Neal had a little bit of a rough game again? And kind of go down the line and let me know.
Yeah, well, he gave up that one sack, Neal. You know, I thought once again he was a little. Look, it's not like they're dropping back 35 times. You know what I mean? But I thought once again he was pretty good on run blocking, and you know, at times he struggled in the pass pro. You know.
But it's not, the reason I asked is because it's not like grossly noticeable, right?
No.
Like, right. Like I again, some guys are texting me like Evan Neal, you know, he's a bust, or I'm like, God, what? Like, what are you watching? Like, there's no way you could be watching the same game I am. So then I'm thinking maybe I'm going too easy on him because I like the kid, but
bust.
No. You know, you look at the offensive line and there's some struggles, but they got it together yesterday. I thought they played pretty well overall. You know,
they had 330-something yards, and hey, look, you're not gonna have 450-yard offensive days with these weapons they haven't for Daniel. You know. So the offensive line, yeah. How about the run blocking in the second half too, man? You know, I thought Golwinski and even Feliciano at times, and you know, and Brennison, he gets hurt, he comes right back, and he has some key blocks, and Adrian Thomas has just been off the charts. But he's struggling at times a little bit. But in pass pro, they gave up his fifth sack yesterday, or fourth sack, whatever it is now, and that's something he's, you know, improving. But he's doing a lot of other good things. So I really like him in the run blocking game, and he's gonna have to tighten some things up with the pass pro. You know, no question about it. You know, so. But as far as, you know, I think he's a bust or anything like that, nah. I mean, you know, I've seen plenty of tackles struggle their first year.
Yeah, there's one on the other side of the line.
Yeah, he just struggled his first year. Not a guy who looks like he's not going to get beat for a sack this year the way he's playing. Although he did get beat yesterday. I have to admit, he did get beat yesterday for the first time, but it was negated.
Penalty. It was Gary.
Yeah. I did see that yesterday, but it happens. He's human.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, but it didn't even count. So, let's let it play out with Evan. You know, let him tighten up some stuff. Bobby Johnson's a pretty good offensive line coach. Hopefully they get that cleaned up.
Yeah. Something we won yesterday. I don't know if we've won it so far. It's not a number that jumped out at me, but we had a 5-minute advantage in time of possession. And we ran the same number of plays that they did, or actually maybe two less or something like that. I remember seeing. Right. So, look, the running game, we all know it's going to go through Saquon, and it really has to. But that number jumped out at me a bit, like, oh, wow, look at this. We won the time of possession too.
So. Yeah, you know, and the Packers like to run the ball. You know, they like to run the ball with Jones and Dillon, and they were quiet. I mean, they only had 94 total yards rushing, and the Giants did a pretty good job. They did a pretty good job in Jones and Dillon only got like 6-7 carries. He wasn't a factor. And there's so many games in the Packers play, he is a factor, you know.
Yeah.
So overall, that was a pretty good job against those two guys, because the Packers, they like to run it up there too. It's not just Aaron Rodgers bringing it all over, you know. So
yeah.
Look, they got us in a slot a few times. They got Holmes. You know, you could tell that was part of their plan. Randall Cobb lining up in that slot, and Holmes got beat a few times. You know, but as far as the kid that was been coming on, Romeo Dobbs kid, you know, he didn't really hurt him. Lazard got him for that one little touchdown there inside the 10. But overall, pretty good job, bro. I mean, he stopped him when he had to stop him. And that's something the Giants defense has not done for years. Get a stop when they need a stop, you know. And he did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, right? He did it again, so.
Yeah. I have a question for you. So, you look at this team and you got probably what? You could say inside linebacker, maybe. Cornerback, maybe a swing guard, and wide receiver, probably the biggest needs, right? If you could have one, what do you add to this team? I'm just curious. Out of those four?
Out of receiver, guard, and what other
corner? Yeah.
Corner?
If you could solidify one position with a guy that you're like, you know what, this guy's going to...
They have no weapons, so I would probably say wide receiver. You know.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'd say corner at this point. But the corners played well yesterday, and it was I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's like you said, it's absolutely amazing how they're pulling this off. And I mean, 4-1.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, I just like to get a number one receiver for Daniel.
Right.
A guy who really makes a difference, Jerry. You know what I mean? Yeah. A guy that comes in and makes a difference for and give Daniel that weapon, bro.
Yeah, and it makes everyone else better, every other weapon better.
It'll make 26 a lot better, and that's you can't get much better than 26, but it'll still free up some things for him.
Yeah,
you know, you could tell the Packers in the first half they came out, they were determined, they were stacking that box, and you know, and all that, man. You know, so that's down the road, but I'd like to see him. I was just curious. I think that's a priority. I think that's going to be a priority for Joe Shane and Dable. Especially for what they saw up in Buffalo, how much Diggs has made a difference for Josh Allen. You know, I think, you know, that how much that number one can make a difference for you, man.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's going to be one of the priorities this offseason, no question about it, because, you know, they need that, you know, especially Daniel's back. You know, give the kid a shot, man. Give him a number one weapon, will you? You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, and Galladay's not a number one weapon. He won't even be a Giant next year. Tony, I don't know. Maybe he's going to be touring with Kanye West. I don't know what he's going to be doing next year. You know, I don't know what the hell's going on, you know? So,
right.
But Joe Shane, they were pretty sharp, man. They know what's, you know, they know they need a true number one guy. So
again, and the high five at the end of the game between Shane and Dable, like, who's higher than them right now? Who feels better than those two guys? And I go back to Hoosiers, man, the movie Hoosiers, when he gets, and Gene Hackman gets the ball, and he looks at his team and goes, all right, let's see what kind of cards I've been dealt here. And that's what I think of Dable, like, all right, let's see what we have here. Oh, look, we're 4-1. Okay, we could do this, you know.
You know, Jerry,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you said it in a tweet, and I put it in a column last week about the P word, playoffs. It's like, holy shit, we're 4-1. It's in the conversation now, dude. It's in the conversation.
You know, I was thinking that last night, and I'm saying to myself, there's 12 games left, right?
Yeah.
If they win 5 of the 12, that's right. A 9-win season right now.
Right.
And that's a playoff conversation. The Eagles went into 9-8 last year, right?
Right, yes.
That's why I mentioned that, because, you know, I wasn't mentioned to be like, oh, you know, I think we're going to make a put. No, that's why I asked about, you know, who's thinking about it? Because if they win just 5 of the last 12, yeah. 5,
yes,
that's a 9-win season right now. Right. Who would have thought that, dude? Who would have had that? So when you look at it like that, now you could say, in the NFC, you could say, well, that could be a wild card, you know?
Right, right.
And that's just 5. And you look at the schedule right now and you say, well, maybe you could get 6. You don't know. Or they might get 2. Well, that's the type of team it is. But if you don't feel with this, Jerry, after yesterday's game, I don't think there's any game or playing any team in this league, and that includes the Eagles, where you say to yourself, well, we're not going to be in. How could you not think you will be in the game with what they're doing, with what this coaching staff's doing? Daniel and everybody, you have to even, who's the best team in football right now? Is it the Eagles at 5-0? You think, who am I missing?
I keep thinking, them and the Bills.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Them and the Bills, okay? Right now it's the Eagles, Bills. I'm trying to think, I'm trying to go through my head in the AFC. Anyway, you look at that and Chiefs, yeah, okay. Can you honestly say, okay, if we played one of those teams, we have no chance? Or would you say, yeah, we'll be in the game. We might not win it, but we'll be in the game, right?
Yeah, I think we'll be in.
After yesterday? After yesterday?
Yeah. Chris, I said it at 3-1. I said, we're 3-1. Now, what we have on the horizon is the big boy part of the schedule. But if they could be 5-3 before the bye, which was doable, it's absolutely on the table, right? Going 2-2, making yourself 5-3 and saying, into the bye, we're 5-3. Holy crap! Are we going to talk about the playoffs now? And now we're 4-1.
Right.
Like you said, you win 5. If you win half your games, you're going to be 10-7 and likely in the playoffs.
Who would have thought that, bro?
No one.
I would have
kissed somebody's ass for 7 wins.
and 10-7, you're going to playoffs. You know, I mean, that's why I mentioned that, because it's just simple mathematics, man. If you win 5 out of the next 12, that's 9 wins. Yeah. Then you're in the tiebreakers or whatever the hell it might be. But I'm just saying, it's in a conversation now. Right. What did we say last week? If they go into London and knock off the Packers, you have to start talking about a little bit. Wow, is this, you know, even with these injuries and all, you're going to get a couple of, well, hopefully some guys back. You know, it's a playoff. So that's what I was saying, dude. That's simple mathematics. That's all I was saying. They're not 2-3. Oh, well, if they win 6 out of 8, you're going 8. No, they're 4-1. If you win 5 out of your next 12, and you look at Washington team, that could be 2 wins right there. That's 7, you know. And then, you know, you look at some of these other games and you say,
Houston,
you know,
Lions.
You know, I'm just
winnable games, Chris. Winnable. Seattle, yeah. Winnable.
There isn't a team out there that even if they played Buffalo Sunday, I would say, Not after yesterday. I would say no shot of winning. Nobody anymore. Now, right. Obviously, if they played Buffalo Sunday, Jerry, I would say, no, I'm going to pick Buffalo by 10 points, whatever. Sure. But I'm not going to look at it anymore because yesterday I was looking at it like they're out of their weight class. They're going to lose. Right?
Right.
Can't look at it like that anymore. That's all I'm saying, you know? So,
Chris, how much fun could Thanksgiving be right now? I mean, they're going to play Dallas on Thanksgiving. That game could mean a lot. This Sunday, you got Dallas and Philly playing each other. One of them's going to severely hurt the other. I mean, Thanksgiving could be, I don't know how it's going to turn out. But going into that game, you think, wow, we're playing for something now. We have beyond meaningful football in November. Really meaningful football. Holy crap, man.
Yeah. So, hey, it's nice to think about. But you know the old adage, right? Let's go back. We'll forget about that. That's why I threw that tweet out last night, and we'll get back to work and start thinking about the Lamar Jackson. They're coming off a nice win last night. Lamar leans him down the field, kicks that field goal, and all that. So tough.
Justin Tucker is a machine.
But Jerry, think of it this way, dude. After Week One, I'll even give you the beginning of the season. After Week One, and you saw Baltimore on the schedule. And you said loss. What? Well, that's a loss, right?
Loss.
Okay, it's a loss, right? It's Baltimore. It's on John Harbaugh. It's Lamar, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I say, man, you never go down a schedule. Well, now you look at it after yesterday's win. You say, okay, why can't this be a close one? Why can't the Giants pull this one out, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Am I talking out of my blowhole?
No. I cut that article from the Insider, that yearly article I used to do. I cut it out because it's stupid. Predicting wins in August. Right. It's a moronic article to write. And that's exactly why, because if you look at Baltimore in preseason, you say, all right, we're going to lose that game. We're going to lose in Green Bay. We're going to lose in London in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And now it's not a definite loss now.
Yeah.
And by the way, dude, going to Green Bay, playing in London, obviously a Packer home game. I have a buddy of mine was there, Sean Allen, and he said it was probably 8-2 Packer fans to Giant fans. So it was not a hostile environment, but everything was against the Giants yesterday. Like, it was a Packer home game. They were doing the stupid go Pack go, but the fans there, the Packer fans, did travel. That was their first game in London. And he just said, I'm surrounded, absolutely surrounded by cheeseheads right now. So that's just another element to go in there and, but to go in there and win that game, it's showing a maturity about this team that you have to love.
Yeah, and Jerry, if the Giants had some kind of chant like that too, they would play for the Giants too. It's like the Super
Bowl. Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I know.
Own thing.
But I'm saying it was loud. It was
loud.
For it being in London, there were a ton of Packer fans.
Oh, absolutely.
That
That's what I mean. That's all you heard. Yeah. That's all you heard. It was loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. So. Whatever. That's why you go out and you quiet them down. You win a game.
That's right.
That's how you quiet them down. You go and you win a game. You know? So, so we'll see. We'll see. We'll start getting to Baltimore at the end of the week. And should be a pretty wild crowd Sunday, bro. It's going to be loud. It's supposed to be nice. It's cool weather. It's going to be loud, bro. This is a 4-1 team. These fans are going to be going out of their mind Sunday.
I can't imagine a 4-1 tailgate. Those tailgates are going to be awesome.
It's going to be rocking, bro. It's going to be rocking. Yeah. It's football weather. It feels like football weather. It's going to be rocking,
Yeah.
And so.
Nice.
It should be a lot of fun.
Good stuff.
Can I make one last...
Yeah.
I'm going to get into one last thing for you Mets fans. Okay? Yeah. I know we have a lot of Mets fans followers, right? All I've heard about for 2 days now is people on the radio, people on Twitter who are so-called cover baseball. And I hear about how the Mets have no balls. They didn't show fight. Folks, the 1927 Yankees wouldn't have hit Joe Musgrove last night. And I'm so sick of hearing people that are getting paid money to be on radio sports shows say the Mets had no balls. Yeah, there are so many people, obviously, that never played the sport of baseball or probably never even played a sport in their life, okay? Nobody was hitting Joe Musgrove last night. No, but I've seen Joe do that numerous times. He's the Padres' best pitcher. No, Chris, you Darvish, he went no more. Trust me, Musgrove's their best pitcher, okay? The guy's got a no-hitter for a reason. So I just hear what I've been reading about is absolutely insane the last few days. You want Met for you Met fans, and I think a lot of you, very smart fan base too. You want to know why you lost the series? Because your $43 million pitcher came up small in Atlanta when they needed him. And then he came up small in game one when they needed him. That's why you guys lost. That's why you're going home, man. That's it. I put on radio.
Yeah.
I hear on Twitter saying professional baseball players have no balls in the box. They won't really try. Guys, they could have faced Joe Musgrave for 30 innings last night. They wouldn't have got a run off him. That's how good he was.
What did you think of Buck doing
that? I didn't like it. If you were going to do that, do that in the first or second inning. I thought it was a little bit of a Bush League move. I understand why he tried to do it. But, dude, Joe Musgrove is Italian, I believe. That riled him up even more, okay? That incited him even more. He was even more determined to shut you down after that. I saw he's got the Iconia horn on his chain. I said, I guess he's an Italian name, Joe. I guess he is Italian. I think you saw that Italian fire come out of him after that. Like, he's looking at the Mets bench like, are you kidding me? Watch this. I'm going to mow down another five guys, you know? So,
What I can't get over, and I'm a casual baseball fan, guys, but the irony of DeGrom, Mats, Wheeler, Syndergaard, Harvey. At one point, we're all on that staff.
Yeah.
And the two that are alive now are Syndergaard and Wheeler, and they play for the Phillies. And you're going to lose DeGrom. Probably. I can't get over that. That is insane to me. Like, you had that staff at one point. Not all at their best, but you had that staff, and you didn't win anything with it. Like, that's why I was so – sorry to go off, guys, but that's why I was so hard on the Rangers when they lost to Tampa. Because you can't take it for granted. When you get to those spots, you got to win. And hockey season starts tomorrow, too. But that's why.
So for your Met fans, blame your $43 million a year guy. Came up small when you needed him. Okay. So the Giants, bro, we'll talk about the Ravens end of the week.
Yeah.
Thinking about maybe getting a special guest on who's now involved with the Giants. Talk a little Giants football with him. I don't want to say the name yet because I still got to work it out. Hey, dude, Halloween's coming up a couple weeks. There's a football season. We haven't had that, right, Jerry? We've basically been done by Halloween the last, for many years now. And here we are, with a football season, and it feels good. And Jets fans, too. Jets are 3-2, and they're feeling good about their team. And there's another schedule thing. There's another schedule thing, right? You look at the beginning of the year, Jets going into Green Bay next week. Oh, they have no chance. Bull crap. The Jets got a great chance Sunday. So we'll see what happens. But, hey, Giants fans, I put this on Twitter. I know Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, give them another draft class, too. But I think everybody's in love with with Daboll and what he's doing. And Joe Shane, look, I got to know Joe a little bit, talked to him a little bit, one-on-one conversation with him, and I think this guy has what it takes. I think this guy understands what it's at, dude, what he has to do here. And they're enjoying this 4-1 ride, Jerry. Trust me, they're enjoying it. But they also don't think they're sitting there going, oh, yeah, we're there. No, they know what's up. And it's going to be – let's put it this way, Jerry. The future's really looking bright for this organization with these two guys, because they're showing it on the field, decision-making,
right,
coaching. They're showing it on the field, bro, because Judge showed a lot in year one and year two. I don't think we're going to have that mistake with Daboll hopefully not, but you got to love what they're doing. The game within the game, you got to love what Brian Dable's doing.
I also can't wait to see what Shane does with some cap space in an offseason too, Chris. Not just going out spending like a drunken sailor, but being smart with bringing some guys in that can really help this team.
Yeah, so.
Great job, man. Feels good to do these winning ones, man, doesn't it? Oh, my God. Not that they were a chore before, but to go up here every week and talk about
chores, bro. And,
I mean, it kind of was. It's like, oh, we got a podcast Monday. We just lost by 40. What the hell are we going to talk about? We can't keep bashing Gettleman every week. It's just getting old. And it's just nice to talk about wins and hope. Hope,
Jerry,
baby.
Like, Jerry, last year when we did the podcast.
Andy Dufresne.
Jerry, last year when we did the podcast after he did that quarterback sneak twice against the Washington. And I think me and you would rather drink a gigantic pot of boiling water than do that podcast and have to talk about that for an hour. Remember? So
terrible.
Anyway, but that's what we do. good or bad, and and very thankfully, it's been very good this year, and it's a pleasure to do it. So,
yeah, it's fun, and thank you guys for listening. Great job by all you Giant fans who actually made that trip, you maniacs. Good job, and hey, man, our team is on the upswing. This is awesome right now. And most importantly, to order a copy of the Giant Insider, or subscription, I should say, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, Sundays are Giant days, baby. We're back. Have a good one.
All right, take care.